brought to you by Black Knight. It's the technology.ie podcast, episode 16, for Thursday, February 8th, 2012, with Michaela Nealon and Conor Muinichon. Dias Mariv, Kith Fulcher of Ishtach, hello and welcome to the technology.ie podcast. I'm Conor Muinichon in the Edgecast Media Studios, and in Carlow Town, it's Michaela Nealon. Hi, Michaela.
Hi, Con, how's it going?
You're loud and clear.
Thankfully.
Missed you last week. We gave it a skip. There was so much going on at both sides. I think we decided to give things a rest. Any news with you?
It's been very, very busy. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on. I mean, everywhere. There's so much going on. I mean, yesterday I was up in Galway talking to some of the students up in NUIG, and but a couple of us are heading off to the States this weekend for the Parallel Summit, which could be really, really interesting, or could be absolutely terrible.
A Parallels Summit. Parallels is software for managing web servers and things like that, is it? Or
yeah, I mean, the kind of product that most people would know them for is Parallels Desktop, which means that, you know, if you're running Mac OS X, you can also run Windows and Parallel.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So they also have a whole range of different products that are used by companies such as ourselves. So we're heading over for this meeting with them, which goes on for a few days. And, you know, they'll show us some of the new shiny objects that they're going to try and persuade us that we should, you know, offer to you, our beloved customers. And we're going to tell them how terrible some things are and how good some things, other things are. And there'll be other vendors there trying to persuade us to sell their products. And, yeah, it's one of those things, but it should be an interesting experience.
Very good. Well, we'll try and catch up with you if we can next week for a podcast. Speaking of beloved customers, Black Knight running a promotion at the moment to give away an Xbox. We'll ask you about that later. We're going to talk about the new Google privacy policies on the show today. And we're also, of course, going to talk about the Facebook IPO. But first, Michaela, I want to rewind the clock back 2 weeks to the last conversation you and I had, the last podcast we did. And at that stage, the news had just broken in relation to Minister Sean Sherlock, what people were calling SOPA Ireland. There was a petition, there was a campaign, there was tweeting, there was Facebooking. There were keyboard warriors pounding the keyboard, as we heard later on with Deputy Buttermer. But to leave all that aside, Michaela, later that evening after we recorded the last podcast, you were among some people who, was it formed a delegation or got a chance to have a meeting with Minister Sherlock to express your concerns in relation to his proposals?
Yeah, because we're members of both the IIA, the Irish Internet Association, and ISPAI, which is the ISP Association of Ireland. And Joan from the IIA was in touch with the minister pretty quickly, and had a short meeting with him that morning. And when I last spoke to you, I was kind of waiting to see whether a meeting with him was going to go ahead that evening. And in the end, it did. So four of us went up and met with him in his offices in government buildings and had, you know, a good conversation. He listened to our concerns. He expressed his concerns and, you know, explained a lot about where they were coming from. And, you know, the thing about all this, I think, is, you know, it's getting some kind of dialogue and discussion going is very, very important, because, you know, it's all well and good for those of us who, you know, use the internet on a day-to-day basis to make lots of noise and everything else. But you also need to actually sit down and talk to people in government and, you know, find out what it is that they're trying to do and why they're trying to do it.
Now, you made points similar to this the last time now, Michaela, and you were kind of saying, and I agree with you, and a lot of people, I think, agree with you, and I think the point is well made, that the perhaps the technology industry, perhaps the internet industry in Ireland hasn't been as effective in terms of communicating its message, in terms of good old-fashioned lobbying, as has perhaps the copyright and music and entertainment industries have been. And that's probably a problem in relation to governments and these industries worldwide. So I accept that, and perhaps a lot of people I think the debate that followed in the Dáil, it was interesting in that some people appeared to be taken aback by the strength of the online lobby, partly because they hadn't heard from them before.
Yeah, I mean, this is it. I mean, the thing, I suppose, is that, you know, a lot of politicians, they're aware of the internet, but I don't think they realize how important it has become for a lot of people. And, you know, that there's so much, they kind of, you know, let's take, for example, Minister Sherlock. Mm-hmm. You know, he would probably be have expertise in certain areas, but he wouldn't have expertise in others. And I think that's the same with any with any politician. You know, they may not know everything that's going on, and, you know, you wouldn't expect them to. So the problem, of course, is then you end up where you have, like, the anonymous attacks that went on as well over the last couple of weeks, on and off. So it's very easy for people to kind of say, well, you know, these online people, they're all they are is a bunch of, you know, cyber terrorists. Yeah. Because they don't understand the difference between, you know, real cyber terrorism, real hacking, and the kind of thing that the groups like Anonymous might be trying to do. Whether they're succeeding or not is another conversation, of course.
Cyber activism, I suppose you would call it. But
I mean, how do you define that? I mean, what is that? How do you explain that to a politician?
Cyber protest, civil disobedience, I suppose, things like that. Keyboard warriors was another phrase that arose. Deputy Jerry Bottomer used it in the debate in the Dáil, and was roundly criticised for it anyway. What was your take on that? He was being dismissive. It was intended really to. He was referring to people perhaps who aren't usually engaged with the. You know something. I don't know what he was referring to. It was an attempt, I think, to belittle and dismiss a section of opinion, while at the same time acknowledging that some people had a valid case to make. I don't think he really covered himself in glory with his use of the term and with whatever it was that he was trying to imply.
Well, I would love to be able to come up with a nice diplomatic response and kind of say, you know, this is what he meant, and, you know, we've all misinterpreted it. But no, I would view his comments to be completely inappropriate. You know, that it doesn't matter whether you agree or disagree with the position a lot of people have taken on this subject. As a citizen, as a voting citizen in this country, I have a right, in my view, to express my opinion, mm-hmm. and I would expect a certain degree of respect from elected representatives when I do so. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what the problem a lot of people had with his comment, was that he was basically kind of saying, Arisher, look, you know, they're just those internet people. Sure, what do they know? How dare they, you know, make noises? And that doesn't help anybody. That's not dialogue. That's the kind of yelling at each other type scenario that we have that causes all the problems in the first place.
There was a couple of speakers, Deputy Bottomer included, I think, in that debate, trying to make the point that they weren't including people they described as being genuinely creative in that. And creative was a kind of a vague term, I think they meant to include, I suppose, people who are creating value or whatever else. But it still wasn't acknowledging the fact that this legislation, this statutory instrument, is perhaps giving undue weight to a certain vested interest in society, a certain valid interest, certainly, which is the rights of copyright holders, but perhaps a disproportionate level of influence to the kind of copyright holders who can afford to take out injunctions to protect their copyright. And, you know, there's a lot of creative people who aren't in that position and could find themselves. I mean, we've all, I think, an awful lot of people in the online industry in Ireland have been the subject of takedowns under the DMCA or other kinds of legislation, even that applies in this country. And it's you know, for most people, it's a David and Goliath situation. The small guy cannot afford to maybe perfectly justified, but cannot afford to actually contest even the, you know, the claim or the takedown notice.
Well, this is the kind of problem that, you know, a lot of these people don't seem to understand. You know, if you have to go to court to defend yourself, you need to have a lot of money. I mean, that's the basic thing. I mean, it doesn't matter who's right and who's wrong. If you know, you're going to have your day in court, let the judiciary decide, et cetera, et cetera. That sounds absolutely fantastic until you look at the economics. And it doesn't matter which figure is right. And it doesn't matter whether it costs you €1,000 or €30,000. It's still quite a lot of money. I mean, I was looking at, I mean, it's that time of the year. In common with a lot of companies, we're currently trying to finalize accounts for last year. And, you know, so we're pulling out reports and we're, you know, categorizing where money was spent over the last 12 months. And you look at things like legal fees. You know, say, for example, you know, some backwards and forwards over a spurious copyright claim, €500. Boom.
Just like that.
Just like that. Now, for a company like such as ourselves, you know, it's arguable whether, you know, €500 is a lot of money or not. I mean, I would say that it obviously is. But, you know, you take, say, a much smaller organization, or say a sole trader. I don't know. Let's say, for example, you spoke to me in the past about your friend who gives guitar lessons online. I mean, you know, somebody who might have a kind of an income per year of, say, €30,000. That's, you know, €500 in legal fees is a lot of money for that person.
Absolutely.
So, you know, there's a lot of stuff that's been said over the last few weeks about this, and now it looks like the minister is going to sign that statutory instrument, or maybe has already signed it. It's not 100% clear where that's at. So I think, go ahead. Sorry.
So you met with the minister. You've been diplomatic throughout this conversation, Michaela, and I think you've been, above all, you've been professional about it, and I think given a lot of leadership to people in relation to this. But could I ask you for a moment to take the gloves off and just say, you know, at this stage, right, you had a frank exchange of views with the minister, okay? Does he know what he's talking about?
I think he... How do I work? I mean,
or yeah, I know you still want to be diplomatic.
It's not a matter of not being diplomatic. It's like, I think the thing is this, is that, okay, stepping back a little bit from this, the real problem isn't with the minister. It isn't with government. The real problem, in my view, is that there is the likes of Irma who think that their rights outweigh all other rights. That's the key problem. It doesn't matter whether or not a minister, be it Sean Sherlock or anybody else, is right, wrong, or otherwise. It's actually pretty irrelevant. Because the view from government was, and this is something that that he's maintained consistently in both in our conversations with him, directly and in public and everywhere else, is that because of the Charlton judgment, which was the case between Irma and UPC, the government feels that their hands are tied, that they have to do something, they can't ignore it.
Well, you know, maybe he's got a point and maybe he can sign his statutory instrument, but it really highlights the fact, doesn't it, Michele, that when a government finds itself in a situation like that, where law is being made in court judgments rather than in the Dáil, it's time for primary legislation. It's time for a new Copyright Act. It's time for all of us who have a stake on all sides of this debate to get stuck in and to try and redefine copyright in some kind of way that is meaningful for the 21st century. And maybe there's an opportunity here for Ireland. I mean, this is something, is it not, that I know I saw Neil Layden was part of this debate, and he's someone who has done...
Well, he was at the meeting in the minister's office.
No, I'm not sure exactly if I fully understand this, but I know there was it the... had he won? Did he win the big idea or something like that for some kind of a proposal for a streamlining or some kind of a clearing house for copyright that would smooth things over and allow people to respect each other's rights, but equally give some kind of turn Ireland into some kind of media hub in relation to this. Now, I'm talking in very vague terms because I haven't heard anything specific in relation to this proposal, Michele, or perhaps I haven't looked into it enough. Maybe he has talked more about it than I'm aware. But in general terms, there is an opportunity here, isn't there, to do something progressive and to do something meaningful in relation to copyright legislation that would, you know, that would take the pressure off people like Judge Charlton.
It would get something which would get the balance right.
Yes.
I mean, ultimately, okay, the kind of thing, the kind of view that I took after having that meeting with Minister Sherlock and there a couple of weeks back, I got the distinct impression that unless something very, very dramatic were to happen, that was the government's view and it wasn't going to change. Whether they're right or they're wrong is largely irrelevant because you can just go round and round in circles around that. It's not going to help anybody arguing about it. But it also was clear in various statements that the minister made in the media and in the Dáil that, you know, there is an opening for either new primary legislation or review of the existing legislation. And well, there is also this ongoing copyright review that is being headed by Owen O'Dell that's been ongoing now for several months. Mm. And, you know, Neil Layden, I mean, it's probably best to actually ask him directly where he stands. But, I mean, from what I can understand, what he's been trying to push for is the kind of digital equivalent of the IFSC. So it would be like a kind of a centre of excellence. And, you know, it would be the idea of making Ireland into a digital hub where, you know, the balance is right, where rights holders' rights are protected, but at the same time, as a content creator or as an intermediary, which would be the case of my company, that we're not stuck as piggy in the middle. But for any of that to happen, though, Con, this is the thing. For any of that to happen, you need to get organisations like Irma to get off their high horse and actually talk to people.
But I think, and you've alluded to this, I agree with you first of all in relation to Irma, and I think I'd like to see this debate taken forward. I'd love to see if we could even play some kind of a role in relation to that, Michele, and invite, for, like you said there, let's invite Neil perhaps to join us on the show sometime and maybe outline that vision a little bit. Let's invite Irma and people like that to give us their view. I have to say from my own, and let's ask the listeners as well to the podcast to kind of share their thoughts, leave comments on the blog at technology.ie. I've got to say that I suspect a lot of people out there, maybe like me, are perhaps much more informed than I am. I'm coming to this debate very naively and very lately, I have to say. And for someone whose business is media production, I'm really only starting to wake up to what some of the issues are and what some of the real issues and the real threats to my business and to what I see actually as a potentially valuable sector and with an important role to play in Ireland's recovery that could be really quenched and squished out of existence really by heavy-handed copyright law in relation to this. As I say, I'm only coming to an understanding of this and I think it's something I want to see aired, and I think, yes, we do need to get organised, but as part of that organisation, we do need to have loud and thoughtful discussions about this.
Well, yeah, I mean, but the thing is that I think one of the problems, and this is something that I've alluded to in the past, is that, you know, it's not an Irish-only problem, so much as SOPA and PIPA were not US only problems. It's an international issue. I mean, there's legislation being drafted or being enacted in loads of countries across the world. I mean, you've got the US is struggling with it. Italy, I believe, has something. Spain has something else. The UK has you know, toyed with various different things. And this is a debate that's international. It's going, it's ongoing, and it's not something that's going to go away.
But in as much, Michaela, in as much as we have our own jurisdiction and our own responsibilities in relation to that jurisdiction, let's join in the debate, being aware that it is an international debate and that, we're not just followers either, Michaela. We can be leaders in relation to this. And I think that perhaps in this country we might have an opportunity, given that it's so small, given that it's possible to access government perhaps in a more easy way than it might be in Washington, D.C., that we might have an opportunity to, if you like, persuade the other side in this to engage with us and perhaps come up with something which is of benefit to everyone. Michaela, we will come back to it again. We're going to, we have New Year resolutions to be slick and smart and to not do all of the talking in one episode. So we will come back to this issue again. I want to talk about Google and Facebook, but first I want to talk about Bert and the Xbox. What are you doing there in Black Knight Land?
Well, you've met Bert before. I don't know what should we call him.
He's a mascot, isn't he? Bert, this is the dragon that people may have seen on Black Knight ads. You'll certainly see it on the technology.ie website. He's a lovable kind of character.
Well, this is it. I mean, you know, it's the year of the dragon.
Right.
So it's the Chinese year of the dragon. So we, James and I, came up with this idea of using that somehow, came across this character, as it were.
He's a stock. It's a stock image, isn't it?
Oh, it's a stock image. I mean, totally. I mean, this is the thing. I mean, it's not like we went off and spent thousands of euro coming up with him.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, so we've been playing around with Bert, and Bert introduced the year of the cloud, discount on our cloud hosting, and now he's pushing our Facebook Xbox 360 competition.
Okay, and this is a Facebook promotion?
Yes.
Okay, so what do people have to do?
Head on over to our Facebook page, just facebook.com/Black Knight. And if you're not already a fan, you'll see the competition as soon as you get there. If you are a fan, just go down to the bit down in tabs where it says about, you know, winning an Xbox. Okay. It's pretty obvious.
Very good.
Technology.ie is brought to you by Ireland's premier hosting and domain registration company, Black Knight. Black Knight offer a comprehensive range of hosting and domain solutions for businesses of all shapes and sizes, no matter where they are in the world.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Technology.ie podcast with Colin Mwinehan and Michaela Nealon. Before we go, Michaela, Facebook finally did it. They did it on their birthday, I think, announced their IPO, and they're valued at $100 billion. What do you think?
If I had shares in Facebook, I'd be selling them.
Yeah. You'd be selling them, would you? You'd be cashing
I'd
in
cash
straight
out.
Away. Yeah.
I'd cash out. Absolutely. I would cash out really quickly.
Do you reckon it's overvalued then?
Oh, totally. But, you know, it's obviously worth a lot of money. Of course it is. Mm. I mean, there's huge potential there, there's a huge user base, but I think it's really, I mean, it's an insane valuation. It's absolutely insane. So I'd take my money and I'd run.
Part of the problem is that they haven't got much room to grow in terms of a user base. They've already got, 800 million.
Well, come on, there's new babies born every day. So, I mean, you know, you've got an ever-growing user base if you can just kind of get them from the cradle to the grave practically. I mean, obviously, what is it, the minimum age is, 13? Mm.
It's a tricky one, though, isn't it, for a company? I mean, Mark Zuckerberg has run it with an iron hand, really, up until now. He's totally in control of it. This really, once you go public, this is where you start to the game changes, really. There, doesn't it, Michaela? You're responsible to shareholders, to institutional
Not
investors.
Not just responsible to them, but you're answerable to them.
Yes.
And that can be a significant change. I mean, you look at, say, Google is a good example. I mean, Google always went on about, you know, the do no evil or whatever their mantra was. But now they have to answer to shareholders. So, I mean, sure, they can argue that, you know, they're still not doing any evil, but they still have to make sure that they're profitable. Because if, you know, shareholders are demanding, I mean, they want profit, and that's all they care about.
And boards and CEOs are, they have a legal responsibility indeed to deliver shareholder value. But let's talk about Google, because it's one privacy policy to rule them all now, Michele, isn't it?
Yeah, and I've seen a lot written about this over the last couple of weeks, and it's like,
not least by Google, they're bugging the hell out of us.
Well, of course they are, but I mean, which is, oh yeah, it's one of these ones that is kind of, I find it kind of exasperating when I read some of the stuff about it. It's like, what Google are doing is they're simplifying it. They're taking however many privacy policies that they had, and they're putting them all into one. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a good move.
It is. But some people feel that it's in some way, and I don't agree with them. I'm more inclined to see it from your point of view. But some people feel, oh, you know, one privacy policy, one seamless agreement with the mothership. It's kind of indicating that yes, everything you share with one side of Google is usable somewhere else. We knew that anyway, though, didn't we?
Well, that's it.
We should have.
Stan, I don't understand why people are so. So upset about this. It's like, you know, Google has loads of different services. It's all run from the same company. I mean, Google Plus, for example, you know, the way I see that is it's to increase the stickiness. It's to encourage you to stay logged in. And, you know, it makes perfect sense to me. I mean, if you've got people logged in all the time, they're coming back more often, they're using more and more of your services, then it makes it easier for you to sell services to them, to sell advertising, and also to get more usable metrics for your advertisers. And, you know, that makes perfect sense to me. I don't really understand why people are so upset about it. I mean, if they don't like it, don't use it.
Upset is one reaction. Another reaction that some people have, myself included, is that we're kind of quietly impressed in a way, because in some respects I didn't think Google had it in them to unify themselves at all, or to pull all this together in any kind of a meaningful, coherent way.
Yeah, that is a problem. I mean,
you know what I mean? That it's all of these sort of 20% projects. It's all of these stuff they launch. They throw it out there. None of it necessarily seems to work together. Yet they're insanely profitable. They're doing very well, very well indeed. They don't seem to have that same sort of one leader, one voice kind of approach that the likes of Facebook have had. Is this perhaps a sign of Larry Page? He's a year in the job. He's not quite a year in the job, I think, now at this stage. It's a good omen, really. If you were a Google shareholder, would you be pleased?
Oh, hell yes. I mean, if they can actually get it to a point where it's easy for people to move in between all the different services seamlessly, then that means the user experience is simpler.
And that's something we've been I've been complaining about it. It actually still seems strangely clunky, strangely easy to trip yourself up moving from, for example, Gmail to YouTube.
Well, yeah, that's it. I mean, this kind of rubbish where you have to log in. I mean, certain services I have to use. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for some of them, I end up with this ridiculous situation where I literally have to kind of log out of everything and then log back in using a completely different username and password. Because if I don't do that, I can't access the data I need. And I'm not talking about, you know, anything particularly, you know, interesting, but it's more just down to basic stuff like being able to pull out invoices from my accounts department.
Exactly, yeah.
So, you know, if they can do that, if they can actually get that right and unify it, then, you know, that's probably a positive move. I mean, I just sent you a link there. If you remember back in 2006, Mully did a post about, what was the title of it? How to Use Google to Get a Girl and Get Laid.
It's almost 6 years since he wrote that.
Yeah, and yeah. You know, that, even then, 6 years ago, it was, you know, people were kind of going, oh my God, Google's taking over. Now, I mean, I'd love to see an update to that, you know, yeah. The 2012 version. I mean, some of those products are, I think, are gone. Are they? Let me have a look. Is Google Base still around?
I don't think so. I'm not sure.
I don't know. I never used it.
Google Video got merged, of course. Google Video got shut down, didn't it? It did, because they bought
YouTube.
Yeah, it
did. I mean, it basically became YouTube. I mean,
Orkut is mentioned. Orkut is still going, I think, though, isn't it?
I think so. But I mean, it was taken over by Brazilians years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, Picasso's still around. We use it with the Getting Business Online thing.
Yes.
Google Earth's obviously still around. Google Maps is still around. Most of those things are still there.
We'll put a link in for nostalgia's sake. Probably a lot of our listeners will say, what on earth are they talking about? This is a post from 23rd of July 2006 on Damien Mulley's blog, How to Use Google to Get a Girl and Get Laid. It was, I think, one of Damien's early case studies of internet technology. He's got an event coming up, of course, very soon as well, the Measurement Conference. That's on, I think, next week, isn't it? You'll be away for that, but you're sponsoring it, aren't you, Michele? You're one of the sponsors, I think, for that, are you?
Yeah, I mean, it's a natural fit for ourselves to be involved with something like that. I mean, we're big advocates of social media, and what Damien's doing there is, you know, he's bringing together people, you know, who know what they're talking about when it comes to social media, and looking at the metrics side of it. Because I mean, there's no point in using Facebook or Twitter or YouTube or whatever the next big thing is, unless you can actually track that in some way, bring it back to something that, you know, makes sense. You know, why am I doing this? I mean, like the conversation we had in the office the other day was, you know, we're going to give away an Xbox, and the question one person asked, well, yeah, okay, but why? And you know, there's a simple answer to that. You know, there's a reason why we're doing it. It's not because we just want to give away an Xbox. I mean, that would be, anybody who thinks that is, well, a little bit deluded, let's just say.
We actually, speaking of Damien and the Measurement Conference, I'm going to cross-post, actually, on technology.ie an interview I did with Damien last week for one of my other shows, the Small Business Show. And I think it's of interest to people. It's kind of geared towards the social media novice. You never know. There might be one or two of them listening to technology.ie. We'll post it in there as well for people's interest. Also, we want to tell people that we've got a Facebook page, not just for Black Knight, Michele, but you went and set one up for technology.ie as well.
I did. It's there's a Facebook page. There's also a Google Plus page.
Oh, really? Excellent.
Are you seeing the Google Plus page? Don't act surprised.
No, I'm kind of. I haven't. I've been neglecting my Google Plus to garden. I must go and do some plus oneing and stuff like that there as well. But yeah, do come and say hello to us on technology.ie on Facebook and also on Google Plus as well. We're not on Twitter yet. We haven't decided whether or not to set up a Twitter account for it, but.
Well, I mean,
we'll work away with what we have.
Well, the problem with adding another Twitter account, I mean, I think it's a valid ask, is, you know,
we're schizophrenic. I tried it, actually. I tried doing sort of multilingual approach where I did my tweets as Gaelga on one account and my tweets as Berlin on another. And I found I couldn't even split my personality even in that much. I think it's, you know, it works out okay.
It's one of these things. I mean, like, say with a lot of companies, you end up where you have multiple products that you might be branding slightly differently. And you know, there is a valid argument for having separate Facebook pages, separate Google Plus pages, separate Twitter accounts. But then you have to ask yourself, you know, at some point, you know, is it really feasible for an organization to run all these different things simultaneously, unless they're a really big organization with the kind of staff to do it? I don't know.
We'll work with what we have for now anyway, Michele. And listen, thanks for joining me again on the technology.ie podcast. We'll try and do it again next week and keep things moving. And don't forget, listeners, if you want to get in touch with us, leave a comment on the website at technology.ie. That's it from me, Conor Muinicon.
And me, Michele Nealon.
Until next week, slán go fóill.